This is NBC Nightly News with John Chancellor in Washington and in New York, Frank McGee.
Good evening. Lieutenant William Kelly was sentenced today to life in prison at hard labor for the murder of 22 South Vietnamese civilians at My Lai. The sentence was given to him by the same six-man jury that found him guilty. He will appeal all the way up to the Supreme Court of the United States if necessary, and that could take years.
Lieutenant Kelly appeared before the president of the jury to hear his fate: life imprisonment or death by execution. The jury had no other choice. The 27-year-old lieutenant's salute was slow and resigned. Colonel Clifford Ford returned the salute and then read the jury's decision. He said the court sentences you, Lieutenant Kelly, to be confined at hard labor for the length of your natural life. Kelly appeared unmoved. He didn't blink. To the president of the jury, he said, "I'll do my best, sir." Then Kelly left the courtroom building to shouts of encouragement from supporters who'd gathered outside. Kelly was then driven to the stockade where he had spent the last two nights since hearing the verdict of premeditated murder. Here he shares a two-room cell for officers with an imprisoned second lieutenant. With sentencing completed, the jury's job was finished. They'd been ordered never to discuss the vote or the deliberations with anyone. They filed out of the courtroom building for the last time, refusing to comment. At least five of them had voted to imprison Kelly for life. The Army had originally planned to fly Lieutenant Kelly to Fort Leavenworth, Kansas, as soon as possible. This afternoon, it announced there would be a delay. No reasons were given. But eventually, Lieutenant Kelly will be flown to Fort Leavenworth to begin serving his sentence at the disciplinary barracks there. So the long trial is over, 3 years and 2 weeks after Charlie Company assaulted My Lai 4. Now the long process of appeal for Lieutenant Kelly will begin. Robert Goralski, NBC News, at Fort Benning, Georgia.
Something else has already begun for Lieutenant Kelly, an expression of American opinion. Hundreds of telegrams poured into the Western Union office in Columbus. They were addressed to Judge Reed Kennedy, the six-man jury, and Lieutenant Kelly. Most of them were in support of the convicted lieutenant. Before he was sentenced, Kelly had been reading many of the letters and telegrams. They seemed to lift his spirits. George Latimer, the chief defense counsel, said more than 1,000 telegrams were sent to him and Kelly, and all, he says, are against the Army's verdict of premeditated murder. The prosecution also has been receiving telegrams. The Army's attorneys will not release any figures about their wires, but it is known that most of them are critical of the court-martial.
The telegrams and letters coming into this courthouse are from all parts of the country. From Baton Rouge, Louisiana, a man writes, "Congratulations to the Kelly jurors. A courageous and fair decision. Justice still exists." A lady in Cheyenne, Wyoming says, "What the jury has done to Lieutenant Kelly is a disgrace to this nation. The enemy is the enemy. The enemy is the enemy." From Belle Fountain, Ohio, a doctor says, "Let us not condemn Lieutenant Kelly when it is the character of the war which is at fault for such slaughters as My Lai." Now, these are only samplings of American opinion, but the bulk of the telegrams and letters received here are decidedly in support of Lieutenant Kelly. This is Liz Trotta, NBC News, at Fort Benning, Georgia.
And tonight, the White House said it had received at least 5,000 telegrams. They are 100-1 in support of Lieutenant Kelly.
This is NBC Nightly News, Wednesday, March 31st, 1971. Brought to you by Jif Peanut Butter. With so much fresh peanut taste, with so much fresh peanut smell. Choosy mothers, choose Jif.
You're sure choosy about corn?
Choosy? I want the best for my family.
Why aren't you as choosy about peanut butter?
It's a leading brand. There are no differences in peanut butter.
Oh, corn's different. Peanut butter's different. Smell your brand.
So?
Smell Jif.
Smells more like fresh peanuts.
Taste Jif. tastes more like fresh peanuts. Isn't that the peanut butter you want for your family?
Right. They get Jif.
Choosy mothers choose Jif.
The big California earthquake of last month apparently is still going on. There was an aftershock today, again early in the morning, and this one was strong enough to knock down chimneys and some walls and give a lot of people another bad scare. There have been in all 220 aftershocks of the big quake, most of them small, but a few troublesome, especially today.
The center of today's shock was somewhat west of the big one 7 weeks ago. This one was closer to the more populated areas of the San Fernando Valley.
Seismologists are arguing about the intensity of today's quake, somewhere between 4 and 4.5 on the Richter scale. But some of the people who live here say the shaking they got today was as bad, if not worse, than that they got from the 6.6 quake in February.
For what we felt here in this house, I would say it was 10 times as bad. The jolt was much shorter, but much harder, for sure.
By scientific measurement, this wasn't even the largest aftershock that Los Angeles has felt. But it caused damage because it was closer to the surface of the earth than the others. Some foundations were cracked, household goods knocked around, and there was structural damage to some walls. The city estimates that 200 homes received some fresh damage, but there were no reports of any major collapses, such as occurred in the first earthquake. This time, no one was killed, and no one has been reported injured. It was only minor damage to public utilities. One school was ordered closed until an inspection can be made to see if there was any new structural damage. This grocery store had been closed for 6 weeks after the first quake. Damage this time was not nearly as bad. Officially, this tremor is listed as just another aftershock, and there will be more of them. But a lot of people here don't see it that way. They say this one was different. It caused damage, and it made people nervous again. Don Oliver, NBC News, Los Angeles.
A Senate subcommittee has been looking into company pension funds operated by 87 large firms. The findings show that only about 10% of the employees who participate in those plans ever get any money from them. Private pension plans in this country now have assets of $130 billion. Senator Javits of New York says, however, that only a relative handful of the workers under private pension plans will ever get any of their money back. Frank?
James Hoffa, president of the Teamsters Union, today was denied a parole from prison for the second time. He served more than 4 years of a 13-year term for jury tampering and defrauding the union's pension fund. The parole board met for an hour and 15 minutes. Hoffa was not there, but his son and daughter pleaded for his release, saying that Mrs. Hoffa is very ill and needs her husband. The board said it would not consider his case again until June 1972, more than a year. Usually, it will reconsider in 6 months.
I'm Phyllis Newman, and I'd like to tell you about a need we women have but too often neglect. A woman needs more iron. So many women have this need, we call it the feminine iron problem, and it could lead to anemia. That's why I take a FemIron tablet every day. FemIron is the all-iron tablet specially made for women to ensure good red blood and help prevent anemia. So to help solve your feminine iron problem, take FemIron every day.
We've all been through it. The restless night when you're the only one in the house who just can't get to sleep. When you sometimes take too long to fall asleep, take Sominex and sleep. Sominex contains three ingredients. It helps you relax. It helps make you drowsy. It gently helps you sleep. Take Sominex to help make you drowsy. Take Sominex and sleep, sleep, sleep.
At least 200 South Vietnamese soldiers were flown into Laos today in American helicopters and supported by American helicopter gunships. Three helicopters were shot down. The South Vietnamese plan to stay 2 or 3 days and then pull out. Two German photographers got aboard one of the helicopters. Before they went into Laos, they were ordered off. One said an American lieutenant kept them under guard for 4 hours. Far to the southeast, the North Vietnamese attacked the district capital of Duc Duc, killing or wounding more than 200 South Vietnamese civilians and soldiers. Last January, the main road between Phnom Penh and Kampong Som, Cambodia's biggest seaport, was cleared. Now the enemy has cut that road again.
Once again, Cambodian soldiers were fighting to reopen Route 4 through the Pichnil Pass to the seaport of Kampong Som. Over the weekend, less than 60 miles south of Phnom Penh, the communists ambushed a 30-truck ammunition convoy. The Cambodian High Command said the trucks were later destroyed by aircraft to keep the cartridges and the mortar shells out of enemy hands. But NBC cameraman James Sturtevant said when he reached the scene, he could find only one truck destroyed. Tire tracks leading into the jungle convinced Sturtevant that the communists had made off with 29 truckloads of ammunition. With aircraft bombing ahead of them, Cambodian soldiers tried to advance through the jungle beside the road. Sniper fire was heavy. Several Cambodians were killed. Cameraman Sturtevant was knocked down when a sniper bullet ripped the ground beneath his feet. Two other cameramen, a Cambodian and a Korean, were wounded. The North Vietnamese sniper was in the treetops. It was a sharp and nasty firefight. The Cambodians advanced a little, but at the end of the day, the communists still controlled the road. This is John Rich, NBC News, reporting.
The Pentagon said today that 15,000 men will be drafted in May, 2,000 fewer than any month so far this year. And the Defense Department spokesman said, "We hope to be below that as we continue efforts toward a zero draft." In the House, an attempt to abolish the draft and the entire Selective Service system was defeated, 73-11. John?
The Democrats in the House of Representatives today went on the record in favor of a total withdrawal of all American troops from Vietnam, and they set a final deadline of 20 months from today. This was something of a surprise since the House, as opposed to the Senate, has been steadily hawkish over the years. The action was taken by the House Democratic Caucus, and it is similar to an action taken recently by Democrats in the Senate. And here is what some of the House members had to say about it.
This is an expression on the part of the House that we think the time has come to for all branches of the government, including the two branches of Congress, and the executive to get to work and to get that thing over with.
If I were Nixon's political advisors, I would and could only read this action as follows, that not only in the Senate, but now in the House, as well as the Democratic Policy Committee, has laid the basis in the 1972 campaign that we're either going to be out of that war or it's going to be one of the dominant issues in the campaign.
The House has been very hawkish in the past. It has been supporting the war very strongly, and I think by the action today, it has signified, the Democratic Caucus has, that we want to end the war, that we want to withdraw our armed forces and cut off that armed engagement. And that is a long journey from where we've been in the past.
Until now, the administration's troubles have been limited to the Senate. It was the Senate that questioned President Nixon's policies during a two-month debate last year that voted to restrict the president's war powers. It was the House that consistently supported the White House, that refused to impose any restraints. Today's decision changes all that. It means that the administration no longer can count on automatic House backing for its actions. Now, House Democrats have joined Senate Democrats and the party's National Policy Council in calling for a fixed date to leave Vietnam. Public opinion polls show a growing number of Americans favor such a deadline. Thus, the Democrats believe they are taking a politically popular stand. Paul Duke, NBC News at the Capitol.
The National Association of Broadcasters meeting in Chicago today released a Roper poll, the seventh since 1959, on people's attitude toward television news. Almost 2,000 people over 18 were interviewed personally. And the poll showed that most people get their news from television, as they have said they did since 1963. Newspapers, radio, and magazines followed in that order. 49% thought television news was the most believable. 20% put most of their faith in newspapers, 10% in radio, and 9% in magazines. Almost half were convinced that no more government control of television programming is needed than exists now. Only 12% thought more was needed. And finally, 69% of those interviewed believed television was fair in presenting the opinions of politicians and average citizens.
Pucker Power is the power of the forest. Pucker Power means your breath is really clean.
Use Lavoris and your Pucker Power clean. Lavoris makes your breath feel so fresh, so clean, your mouth actually puckers.
The pucker lasts a minute, but the cleaning power in it lasts for hour after hour. Pucker Power! Use Lavoris and your Pucker Power clean.
The secret to a great cup of coffee is to keep the flavor and aroma sealed in the bean until you buy it. Freshly ground coffee is flavor fresh. For really great coffee, buy A&P Whole Bean Coffee. It's freshly ground in the store when you buy it. Try 8 O'Clock, a superb blend of 100% Brazilian coffees. Bean fresh coffee makes a world of difference. And this week, 8 O'Clock coffee costs even less. It's on special sale only at A&P and A&P's A-Mart food stores.
On May 26, 1953, the Shell Oil Company announced TCP, a gasoline additive that was to become world famous. This week in newspapers across the country, Shell announces TCP2, the latest improvement in Shell gasolines. TCP2 helps keep your car in tune for good mileage and fewer exhaust emissions. Please take 4 minutes to read about this important improvement now in all Shell gasolines.
The situation in East Pakistan today is still unclear, but American authorities there are advising some resident Americans to get out of the country. The Indian Parliament, where there is strong support for the East Pakistanis, was using words like massacre and carnage today, but the official Pakistani radio said things were getting back to normal. The fact is, nobody knows for sure, and Western reporters were kicked out of East Pakistan last week. But yesterday, our man George Montgomery, traveling by rickshaw, car, and truck, got into East Pakistan as far as Jessore, and here is his report.
Let's be stressed that while we were told many anti-government atrocity stories by rebel supporters on our trip about 20 miles into East Pakistan, we saw no evidence to support claims that West Pakistani troops, mostly Punjabis, are wantonly butchering East Pakistani people. Trucks roared through the area, gathering food donations for rebel troops of the East Pakistani Rifles and irregular insurgents fighting the Pakistani central government forces. You start seeing the flag of Bangladesh, East Pakistan's rebel movement, a couple of miles inside the border with India. Bangladesh stands for Free Bengal. There's no doubt, even in this peaceful area, that the rebel movement has wide support among the 70 million people of East Pakistan. Joy Bangla means long live Bengal. The rebel radio pumped out the new national anthem. On roads to Jessore were other trucks loaded with men on their way to fight, many of them armed only with heavy sticks. There are about 70,000 loyalist soldiers in East Pakistan, trained men, but they are outnumbered badly when huge groups of the population fight for the rebels. There were more cheers and chants from men and boys headed toward the battle in the Jessore area. Rebel supporters said many of these East Pakistanis are fighting because they have been turned into second-class citizens by a central government that is a military dictatorship dominated by West Pakistanis 1,000 miles away.
It's a strange kind of war when young men and older men go out with sticks and petrol bombs to fight trained soldiers, but considering the number of East Pakistanis there are, it's a war that could go on a very long time. George Montgomery, NBC News, Jessore.
People were also using the word massacre in the Middle East today. The Arab guerrillas said the Jordanian army was slaughtering Palestinians. The Jordanians say the accusations are false, and the Egyptians have called for another meeting of Arab states to consider the question. Apparently, there was some fighting. The guerrillas say 200 people were killed. The Jordanians say 18. Frank?
The 24th Soviet Communist Party Congress met again today to start up the machinery which will continue the country's leaders in office. But there was one significant event. Lee Duan, first secretary of the North Vietnamese Party, spoke. And he spoke first today, thus demonstrating Russia's continued active support of North Vietnam. Lee Duan thanked the Soviet Union for what he called its tremendous, valuable assistance in Indochina and said the United States would meet utter failure there.
Computers come down to what they can do for your company's profit. One computer company looks at computers that way and builds them that way. NCR. And now NCR terminals help computers do even more by collecting data faster and more accurately. Talk to NCR, because now more than ever, NCR means computers and terminals.
We never go anywhere because your feet are killing you.
Well, I'm going to fix that.
Yes, dear.
Let's soak those tired, aching feet in Johnson's Foot Soap and hot water. Doesn't that feel good?
Uh-huh.
See, Johnson's Foot Soap, Borax iodide brand, soaks away foot misery. Softens corns and calluses. Just a few minutes and your feet feel young again.
Honey, I've got a great idea. Let's go out tonight.
You may think you're stuck with a lemon when all you're really stuck with is a dirty carburetor. Because that's all it may take to make your engine run rough and lose power. But the solution is here. New STP Double Power Gasoline Treatment. Power to clean with power to burn. Add a can next time you fill up. You'll really feel the difference.
Eastern Airlines Flight 939 from New York to San Juan, Puerto Rico, was hijacked over the Atlantic this afternoon and diverted to Havana. There were 82 people aboard, but no sky marshal. The Philippines airliner hijacked to Communist China yesterday returned to Manila today with its crew and passengers. Four Americans were among them. The six hijackers remained in Canton, China. At Geneva, Western negotiators predicted an agreement with Russia to ban biological weapons by the end of this summer. In the Netherlands, legislators are thinking of making polio immunization compulsory. Their concern arose after a severe outbreak in Staphorst, where, for religious reasons, inoculations are discouraged.
For nearly 400 years, the village of Staphorst has tried to keep the rest of the world out. Visitors are not welcome. Photographers are sometimes beaten up. By isolating itself, the town has managed to keep old customs alive, including a very strict interpretation of the Bible. The church here insists there be no tinkering with God's will, no effort to cushion the future. Insurance, for example, is considered sinful. So is preventive medicine, including any sort of vaccination. Not all villagers go along with that. Half of them had themselves and their children immunized anyway against prevalent diseases. But the other half had no protection. Late last month, the polio virus struck. So far, 35 victims, all but one of them children. 3 have died. The disease struck only those who had not been immunized. The rest of the country was shocked. More than 90% of the population has taken polio vaccine, and nobody understood how this could happen. Cards and letters poured in to cheer up the victims, but also to condemn a religion that would sacrifice its young. Politicians demanded that something be done about it. Among the parents of Staphorst, there's been a lot of soul searching. Many changed their minds about immunization, some too late. A crash program provided vaccine to hundreds of holdouts, but at least 10% of the villagers continue to oppose it. Authorities here doubt that any law can force deeply religious families to have their children immunized, and they see no real solution to occasional epidemics in these isolated villages. David Burrington, NBC News, Staphorst, the Netherlands.
The United States Court of Appeals ruled today that the United Transportation Union could strike whatever railroads it chooses, provided it shows it has been acting in good faith to negotiate a nationwide rail contract. And the court sent the case back to a district court to appraise the union's good faith. Deputy Attorney General Richard Kleindienst said today that the Justice Department is against limiting political campaign contributions. He said the emphasis should be on full disclosure of what is spent. And William Ruckelshaus, head of the Environmental Protection Agency, said today that nationwide standards will be set within 2 years to control more than 30 kinds of air pollution. The New York Stock Exchange had another day of light trading and little movement. The Dow Jones Industrials gained about a point. The value of an average share went up a nickel. On the American Exchange, an average share gained 8 cents. John?
In Warwick, England last year, Christine Brown got married to Ralph Smith, and on their wedding night, she noticed something odd about him. His arms were covered with bandages. Christine asked him about it, and he said he had cut himself. But he kept on wearing the bandages month after month, and Christine kept on asking why. Finally, Christine got the bandages off, and she discovered tattoos reading, "My Darling Pam," and "True Love to My Dear Wife, Pam." This week, they convicted Ralph Smith of bigamy. Good night, Frank.
Good night, John. Thank you, and good night for NBC News.